Hello, this is Sharon Steitler, the bird chick, and I am here with non-birding Bill.
Hello.
And if we sound different, it's because we're now carpeted.
We are? You and I?
Yeah. Yeah, we're carpeted now.
Oh, okay. Is this, like, do you telling me I need to shave, or...
I mostly have hardwood floors, but no, we have moved. For some reason, I have decided to do major life events during migration.
Right.
That's not my intention. It's just the way our life works. Why did I get married
I'm
during
sure
spring
birds feel the
migration?
Same way.
No, seriously, we
Why
got married.
Why do we always plan this big flight during migration? What were we thinking?
So anyway, we recently moved.
Mm-hmm.
We are now in a place that has carpeting, as opposed to our last place that has hardwood floors, which our rabbit Dougal is ecstatic over.
He's into it.
He likes the carpet. He likes a good plush carpet.
Gives him good traction.
Gives him. That is an upside to carpet over hardwood floors.
Yes,
is that it gives you good traction.
Yes, it does.
Anyone 13 or above listening to this, I hope you're giggling as much as I am in my head right now.
Dear.
So anyway, no, it was really exciting. We moved, and our first bird as we were moving, I don't think you were over here at that point, was it? It was a Nashville warbler.
Yeah, okay.
We have moved into a place that is one step down from a retirement community.
Oh, I wouldn't describe it that way.
I would. There are very strict rules about when you can be noisy and when you can't be noisy.
So as opposed to you just randomly enforcing these rules as you see fit.
I like living in apartments, number one.
Sure.
I have absolutely no desire to own a home. All the time and effort that goes into home ownership, I would rather spend that money, time, and effort on...
birding.
And travel.
Yeah.
Travel more so than birding. But, we are no longer the oldest people in our building, number one. That's cool.
Okay.
We don't live next to a bar anymore, so we don't have the daily, I guess nightly.
Mm-hmm.
Woo!
Well, it was at 2 a.m., so I guess it would be daily.
Yeah, technically, that's morning. Yeah.
Right.
So, but no, everybody, the other night we were sitting on our little three-season porch, and you said something really loud. And then I heard a window slam shut, and I'm like, oh, we're the noisiest people here. This is so exciting. We can be quieter than that.
I will try.
Anyway, so we moved. Not that I hated moving. It was awful.
It was awful, but it's over now.
Anyway, yes. So our goal with this podcast is to podcast.
Right.
And to talk about interesting bird stories that are going on. And, you know, I did something. When this podcast came out, The Daily Show had a rather controversial segment come out.
Okay.
I don't see it as being very controversial at all. Essentially, the Washington football team needs to change their name.
Right.
You know what? If there is a group of people out there who says, hey, that word you're using as a mascot, that's offensive, that is
right.
a sign that you need to change it, regardless of history and things like that.
And this is not the first time this has come up.
No.
The team has dealt with this several times.
As the Daily Show article points out, the name that the team is using is offensive. That is in the dictionary.
Sure.
It's not like I'm saying anything new here. But I was, you know, I watched this segment because some of the people that were in this segment had gone to the Washington Post and a few other media outlets and said that they felt threatened and blah, 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 blah. And the thing that I thought was most telling in all of those news stories was that they all said, oh, yeah, we totally know what The Daily Show is about. We were totally down with being on it.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, had we known that we were going to be on the show with actual Native Americans,
right? So well,
we would
probably...
not have worn our gear.
Well, you didn't explain what actually happened here. You assume people are... It was they invited some mega fans of the Washington football team to come on The Daily Show. And what happened was, when they got there, there were actual Native Americans there who were confronting them about their support of this name.
Yeah, and so the people that were on there that were pro the offensive name were all saying, you know, oh, we felt attacked and misrepresented and blah, 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 blah. But the thing, again, the thing that was most telling was, well, had we known we were going to be on with Native Americans, we wouldn't have worn our team gear. And it's like, see, that shows you that it's offensive
there.
Yeah,
no, this is it. I mean, and I saw a video.
I watched the Daily Show segment.
No, this wasn't Daily Show. This was a previous thing where it showed at the stadium there was a Washington football team fan dressed in, you know, the stereotypical, like, the makeup and the headdress that mm-hmm. they would wear at the game, explaining to an actual Native American why this wasn't offensive. Yeah. So
anyway, as I was watching all this, I thought back to when we had a bird name here mm-hmm. That has been the long-tailed duck.
I will just say it once so people know what we're talking about.
Yeah, you say it.
Okay. Because I'm the offensive one. The long-tailed duck, its colloquial name was the old squaw.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's how I grew up knowing that bird.
Right.
And then the name changed. And we all know that I am big fans of making fun of AOU changes and name changes and splits and all this. This is one of the few times when I was like, yes, that was the right thing to do. Yes, that name should have been changed. And every now and then I will come across a bird who's like, oh, well, you know, Harrier should be Marsh Hawk and Long-tailed Duck should be... I'm not even going to say it. It's like, and I am compelled to say at those points sometimes, I'm right there with you with Marsh Hawk. You need to cut out Long-tailed Duck. You have to accept that change.
Right.
Because if there is a group of people out there that says, hey, this is what that word actually means, and it makes
the birders look bad.
Yes. You do not look, a fun little curmudgeon.
If you care about birding as a hobby or, you know, a thing, it makes you look bad.
Yes. But... Anyway, watching this Daily Show segment, I thought, boy, I bet there are still some online forums about the name change of the long-tailed duck. So I just did some Googling. Hoo boy. Some of the names attached to some of these. There's a group that I'm on called ID Frontiers.
Mm-hmm.
And granted,
which is a very hardcore birding group.
And it is all about identification.
Yeah.
It you know, when they talk about name changes, it is strictly from a scientific point of view. And the person who moderates it does a damn fine job of moderating it and just keeping things on topic. But when the long-tailed duck name change happened, it, you know, some people started going back and forth on it. The blatant racism with that. And I will say, this is from...
The blacism. As we would say on the Blaxploitation podcast that I do.
Do you still do that?
We do. It's very... Because my co-host has a job now, it's infrequent that we
do
it. Yes, but it is still a going concern.
You should have Brandy over while I'm in Portugal.
Sure. Anyway, back to the story we were talking about.
Anyway. But... So I'm just reading it. And granted, we're now in the year 2014.
Or 5775 if you're Jewish. Happy Rosh Hashanah.
Is it really 50?
5775.
Why is it 5075?
Because that's how many years they have in the Jewish calendar.
Okay.
You realize there were Jews that existed for a long time before the Christians came along, right?
I'm undoing a lot of Sunday school training, but okay.
So...
This is not my fault, because not only did I go to a Christian Science Sunday school... But because my parents did not want me to go to the Indianapolis public school system, which that is a whole other podcast in and of itself, I went to Catholic school, not because they subscribed to Catholicism, and I went to Lutheran school. My religious background is completely... And then my dad kind of thought he was Jewish because he would just wear a Star of David because he thought it was cool. I think that was his rebellion against my mother and her Christian Science.
Right.
But that's way more about my family history than anyone needs to know.
So it was just Rosh Hashanah.
Okay.
The Jewish year is now 5775. This has nothing to do with what you were talking about. Anyway, continue.
I forgot what I was talking about.
You were talking about in the year 2000. Yeah.
Okay, so it's 2014. So
no, it's 2014 now. It's not the year 2000 anymore.
Yeah. Well, the discussion that I found online, the history of online forums that I found online was from the year 2000 and people discussing. But it just cracked me up the number of people that were just... And one of them, the person saying... You guys need to cut it out because the old name for the long-tailed duck is offensive. Was a guy named Luke Cole, who is dead now, but I hired him as a guide when I went with you to San Francisco for one of your Apple conventions.
Yeah, he showed you an acorn woodpecker.
He showed me so much. Luke Cole, he could feel.
Oh, stop. No one, as I have told you many times in this relationship, no one gets that reference.
You know what? If you've never seen Wrestler's Rhapsody, you really should. But anyway, he was phenomenal. My favorite thing about going out with Luke Cole was I just hired him for... He sent me all these different trip itineraries and prices, and I said, look, I've never gone West Coast birding, period. Everything's going to be awesome. Since we're in San Francisco, I just want a general smattering of San Francisco birds. Everything you show me is going to be awesome. Sure. And he did a great job because he, not only did he show me birds, he was like, oh, this is where Robin Williams lived. And, oh, this is where they filmed this segment of Vertigo from that Alfred Hitchcock movie. But the best part was, like, we were having lunch, and I said, yeah, I try to see the state bird in every state that I'm in. And he's like, okay. And afterwards, we go down this neighborhood, and it was kind of at this point that I was like, wow, this seems kind of weird that all of a sudden we're going down this neighborhood. And he's like, oh, hey, can you do me a favor? Can you go put my cup in that recycling bin over there in that person's yard? And when you do that, look to your left. And when I looked to my left, there were California quail, so I got California quail. Anyway, awesome. Luke Cole was awesome. But anyway, I was looking at this discussion, but the number of well-named birders who were just like, oh, but you know, the old name for this is really cute. You should keep that. And then also the well-named birders who are just like, guys, this discussion shouldn't be going on here. This is a bad idea. And it's like, really? You can't stand up for racism here? You just have to just go for it and just say, well, no, this is an identification form. We're going to stick with identification.
I have to say I do respect that point of view in that because as someone who has been on multiple internet forums since I was, you know,
knee-high
to a grasshopper, there is always somebody who tries to drag it off topic and make it about... I'll give you a perfect example of this. When I started going to... When we moved up to Minneapolis and I started going to science fiction conventions, I moderated a panel, and this was when Lois and Clark, the Superman show, was on.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so we were having a... The whole purpose of this panel was to compare Lois and Clark and, like, the Superman movies, as I recall.
Okay. The Christopher Reeve ones?
I think so. Okay. We were having a lighthearted discussion. We were talking about, you know, how they, you know, how you represent these. And if you have ever been to a science fiction convention, you know that this always happens. A guy stands up and decides that now is the time for him to tell the story about he was a teacher and these two little boys tore up like bubblegum cards from the Supergirl movie and he stopped them.
Oh my God.
And it's like, this has nothing to do with what we're talking about here. And first of all, Supergirl is a terrible movie.
I like terrible movies.
And he wanted to make it the
really
sexism
bad.
Thing. And I turned it and it's like, well, what, at what point does it stop being sexist and start being Supergirl is a terrible movie that no one should like? But this happens. I mean, this has become a running... I made a joke like... We saw our good friend... I went to a panel that our good friend Kelly McCullough was on. He was part of it. And they opened it up for audience questions, and Kelly, who I think was moderating, said, let me remind you, a question is a sentence that ends with a question mark and is something that the panelists can answer. So if you are on, it's like, if I'm on a listserv that's about bad movies, something I love, and somebody starts to bring up the genocide that's happening somewhere in the world, it is completely appropriate for the moderator to say, this is beyond the purview of what this group is talking about.
I get saying, the moderator was away at this point. And what was really funny with the discussion that I was reading was that I was like, where's the moderator? Where's the moderator? Please come in, because you're really good at, like, squashing this. And the moderator did come in, because he's like, yeah, I was away. But I feel when it comes to racism that we should just say, hey, you're being racist, and also this is off topic.
Well, but I mean, and this was not, but I mean, the thing you were talking about was a hardcore identification group. That is what it exists
okay,
for.
And I will say that, but I mean, at the same time, this is what the Washington team is going through right now.
Sure.
This is what I've grown up with. I don't like change. Mm-hmm. I don't want to change because some group is telling me that what I am telling them is pride as I make fun of their culture.
Sure.
Is, you know, really okay. But it just made me think. You know, I was just seeing the parallel between that when we changed the long-tailed duck name mm-hmm. to trying to change. I think eventually it will happen.
I completely
that we'll
agree,
that
but there are appropriate and inappropriate, and I can see why people would think, oh, this is a birding group, we should talk about this. But if the birding group is specifically about hardcore scientific identification of, like, the most of, like, yeah, so. Anyway.
I will say, of all the forums I have been on.
Now is my chance to shine.
Been off. I'm still on that forum because it stays so on topic.
Sure.
And every time when they get to the point of, like, talking about gulls so much, then I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, I need to unfriend this group because I just don't like it anymore. Someone will post a really interesting raptor.
Okay.
But I can't believe I'm still a member of a forum like that.
We still exist.
I know. Well, we're old school. We crazy, crazy birders. And it's like, I don't see the things that you see happen on the Facebook pages that you see happening on ID Frontiers.
Right.
I mean, it cracks me up that the number of friends that I know who run birding Facebook pages, it's kind of like a domino effect. One of them will post, hey, please everybody see this pinned post. We're really excited that you're all, like, into birding, but we don't want to see 50 cardinal photos. Thanks.
Right.
Maybe read the guidelines about being on this page.
Right.
You don't see that on ID Frontiers. ID Frontiers is just, the moderator is awesome. He's just like, off topic, done, stop. I will cut you.
Sure.
Well, he doesn't say cut you, but anyway. I will cut you from
the list.
Sounds
like a bird watcher, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Okay, and with football, I feel like I should mention, although probably most people are going to listen to this after the fact, there's a Vikings protest in Minnesota tomorrow over the Bird Safe Glass.
Right.
So basically what's going on is the Vikings stadium, the Vikings have had so many problems. Oh, poor Vikings. You know, the whole child abuse thing has been...
I don't want to talk about that here.
Okay. And I'm really glad that the people who are against the Vikings glass are not using that as part of the campaign. But the Vikings have had a rough year.
Now they got all these crazy bird watchers. Why don't they just lay off of them, for crying out loud?
They could have a number of different glass options for their stadium. They have lots of money to spend. They have said that we're not going to switch the glass because of a money issue. It's all aesthetics. So there's a Minneapolis Audubon Club is doing a protest tomorrow on Saturday. And I really wanted to go to this. Unfortunately, there's a bazillion things going on Saturday. There's a raptor release. There's a couple other things going on. I personally am flying out of the country, so I can't go. And this is something for work that I cannot get out of. But I hope a lot of people go and represent. I hope the Vikings change their mind on bird safe glass, but yeah.
Okay. What else we got?
What else is going on bird-wise? Oh! This has been a very weird week.
Oh, yes, it has.
Not just because we moved.
Right.
But there is an article about me in Minnesota Monthly.
Yes, there is.
Have you read it?
I read part of it, yes.
I started to read some of it, and I got the notification from the person who wrote it, and it cracks me up that the person who wrote it, her last name is Vogel. Mm. Or, I'm sorry, Vogel.
Okay.
Which is German for bird.
Oh, right.
And the way this happened was...
So her ancestors were birds?
Yes. She has a cloaca. Jennifer has a cloaca.
All right.
We'll find out if she listens to this podcast.
Yes, we will.
Actually, her husband parks in the same parking garage I do in St. Paul, so I run into him from time to time.
Is that a metaphor?
At my park service office. All right. He and I park in the same garage when I work at the park service.
You know what they say about Sharon? She parks in the same garage as certain other people like
it. You know what? Sharon parks wherever she can. Yeah. She parks wherever she can find the space, if you know what I mean. No, it was really strange because I got an email and they were like, hey, we want to do an article, I thought, about bird watching in general or just about Minnesota birds. And she wanted to come to a Birds and Beers and she wanted to go bird watching with me. And I took her out to Carver Park where Kirk Mona, a.k.a. the Twin Cities Naturalist, works. Mm-hmm. And I was really getting irritated because as we kept going along, she kept asking me questions, which I'm happy to talk, but I'm just like, we're not bird watching. We're talking. And then,
so the reporter who was there to interview you was asking questions, and this irritated you.
I didn't understand that the article was about me. I thought it was about Minnesota birding. Right. And then it was through this, she was like, no, we're doing a profile on you.
Mm.
I was like, oh. So the article has come out. She told me that it came out, and I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. Awesome. And I was at the Hummer Bird Fest, and then a few days later, it's like, I haven't heard from you. Is everything okay? I just kind of want to know. And I was like, I'm really sorry. I can't read articles about myself because it terrifies me. I don't like reading about myself. I live with myself. I can't imagine reading about myself.
Imagine what it's like for me.
I know. You signed up for this for no pay whatsoever. But the little bit that I read... They actually included my profanity in the mini. Yeah. I love that in Minnesota Monthly, I say bad words.
You do.
It is a PG it is beyond PG-13. I would almost call it rated R. And I felt really good about the whole article. I stand by everything. I think I even used tape calls in there, and if someone wants to take me to task for it, go for it. I don't care. The only thing I don't like about the article is that the one photographer wanted to take a picture of me from below, I guess to make me look taller.
Right. Probably show the sky.
Well, he was also trying to take a picture of a bird flying over us as we did this. To every photographer out there, no woman wants to be photographed while you lay on the ground. No woman ever. But anyway, the text is fine.
That was very flattering.
Did you?
I did. Okay. I especially enjoyed the fact that on the cover of the magazine, one of the other stories was how to fake it as a football fan, considering that Wired called you a longtime Vikings fan. And I'm not entirely sure that you've ever watched a Vikings game in your entire life.
No, but I have watched Super Bowl games. Mm-hmm. I understand the basics of football.
Right.
I love watching the league. That is one of my favorite teams. Well, true. I like it in the way that I like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I can watch, like, increments of it. And when I watch those increments, it's hilarious. But if I try to watch an entire season in a day, I don't feel good about myself. But the other thing that was weird about this week was not only was I in Minnesota Monthly, I also am a character in a book.
All right.
So Jan Dunlap of the Birder Murder Mystery fame.
Of the Massachusetts Dunlaps.
No, the Birder Murder Mystery fame.
Sure.
The Bob White Murder Mysteries.
All right.
She's,
so this is about a bird that wears a monocle and a top hat.
If only.
And goes about solving murders.
No, Jan Dunlap, she lives here in Minnesota. Her son actually is quite the birder.
Okay. he's quite the birder about town. People say he's the birder of the season.
You know what? If Bob Dunlap calls something, you don't question it. Bob Dunlap knows his you-know-what.
All right.
But anyway, she has a series of murder mysteries. I read the first one, and just because I am a slow reader and I tend to do my fiction as audiobooks as opposed to reading them, I haven't read all of them.
And you don't like mysteries.
They're not my favorite genre, no.
I am planning on reading this probably while you're away.
I think you should, because I need to know more about it.
Right.
But anyway, she told me while ago, maybe a year and a half ago, she's like, hey, I'm working on a bird or murder mystery in my next one, and I'd like to make you a character in the book. Is that okay?
The bird of murder.
Roger.
Roger, the bird of murder.
The bird of murder. And I said, you can do one of three things.
Right.
You can kill me.
Yeah.
You can make me kill somebody.
Right.
Or you have to make me a completely horrible person.
Sure. Those are the three reactions I frequently have.
She looked at me horrified when I said, you have to make me a completely horrible person. I said, no, seriously, that is the only three ways that you can use me. And if you need tips on how to make me a horrible person, here's my husband's email. He will give you examples of how I'm an awful person. So I haven't read all of it for a number of reasons. Number one, the move. Number two, in the middle of the move, I decided that it would be a good idea to speak at a hummingbird festival in Texas. And a trip that I thought was 2 weeks away is actually tomorrow, so yep. I'm going to Portugal after we've just moved. But, and also, I just have trouble reading about myself. But I had to do a multi-author book signing, which was fun, because, like, Laura Erickson was there, Jan was there, Bob Dunlap was there, Clay Christensen, so a whole bunch of local Minnesota bird authors. And Jan was like, hey, Swift Justice is out. That's the name of the book. It's the sixth in the series. And she's like, here's an autographed copy, which was super nice of her to give me. And so I took it to Birds and Beers. And people started reading and immediately scanning it right away to find my name to let me know where I am in here. I have absolutely no idea if I kill, if I am killed.
Sure.
If I'm just a completely horrible person.
Right.
But I'm suspecting that she made me a completely horrible person. Right. And I think because Jan is such a nice person, she couldn't really write me as horrible as I wanted her. And I think she's written me fairly accurately. The most inaccurate thing I've found about myself so far in here is that I'm drinking a beer at Birds and Beers.
All right.
Because if you come to a Birds and Beers, I have to be completely exhausted to just be drinking a beer, because otherwise I'm drinking whiskey.
Now, do we have a link where if people want to read this for themselves, where they can buy this volume?
Yes.
All right, this will be on the, okay.
Yeah, I will definitely include a drink in there. But no, I think I'm referring
to... Include a drink in there?
I'm sorry, a drink? I meant a link.
So anyway.
Okay, here we go. And here we go. And what do you think of Sharon saying someone's harassing her? Luce shrugged. I'd say it's possible, thinking that someone wants to kill her, though it's a bit over the top, I'd say. Let's be clear, a lot of people want to kill me.
So clearly I'm not in this book.
Sharon's a drama queen, I asked her. Luce took another sip of her drink and looked at me over the rim of the cup. Maybe, but you're not her high school counselor.
So is this a fiction book, or is this just like a document? Is this person just typing like what happened at Reading Festival?
So when they were reading this at Birds and Beers, they're reading various parts of it, and they were just like, Sharon's wearing a tiara? And I said, I actually own two tiaras.
She owns two, ladies and gentlemen. I will tell you straight up.
One of them needs to be cleaned because it's silver and it's a little tarnished. But yeah, I will wear a tiara at the drop of a hat if it's clean. There's also a thing on here. There's also someone else read something in Swift Justice about me being on the shiny bar of the Black Forest Inn, which is someplace where we host Birds and Beers. And I can't attest to the shininess of that particular bar, but I can attest to more than one occasion having been on top of a bar. So I think this is a pretty accurate portrayal of me in Swift Justice by Jan Dunlop. This life is so weird. Being featured in your state's tourist magazine and also in a local author's murder mystery, the number 6 in a 12-part series,
a limited dream. All right, so what else we got?
Hey, speaking of living the dream,
yep,
is Ello something I need to worry about?
Ello, ELL.co is a new social network.
Wait a minute, it's not even a .com.
No, that's how cool it is.
Do I need to have birdchick.co?
You do, because I know for a fact, because I sent it an invitation to you, and you sent it. It's a new social network. There are a lot of cool people who are joining it. It's not, you know, it's, people are thinking maybe it's the new Twitter, because...
No, I'm not asking you about Ello. I'm asking you about the .co. Because, you know, you can have, like, birdchick.net.
Oh, .guru? No, I wouldn't worry about that.
Birdchick.xxx.
Yes.
Birdchick.gov.
Yeah, I'm sure. There's no birdchick.gov. No, that's not something you need to be worried about.
Okay.
It is a new social network. It might be the next Twitter. It might be the next Google Wave.
Plus.
Google Wave, I would say, if you remember that.
Oh, Google Wave is gone already.
Exactly. But I've signed up for it. There are some people on it. It's just basically, at this point, a bunch of people waiting to see if it turns into anything cool, because the problem is that Twitter is going slightly crazy.
I figure, like, I'm in the end of the world with Twitter. I don't think Facebook is going to go away anytime soon, but, I feel like Twitter, I don't use Twitter like I used to. I mean, I used to have conversations on Twitter, and now I just kind of check into Twitter to see when someone asks me questions, because it's just gone so Kardashian. But, here's the thing that got me about Ello. So, I work part-time for the National Park Service.
Is it Ello, or is it Ello?
Hello. Yeah, my British friends are having a fun time with us. But no, so for the National Park Service, I was recently part of a training workshop.
Right.
Because apparently they didn't realize I also work for the National Park Service. On, hey, can you talk to us about social media? I was like, yeah, you know, I actually work for the Park Service. Anyway, that's neither here nor there, because most of the way that I use social media as Birdchick is against the law with the federal government. And that's why Birdchick is separate from my federal government work. But when I was like giving advice, like, oh, you should do X, Y, and Z. Oh, we're not allowed to use X and Y. And Z, maybe we'll have access to that in about 8 months.
Sure.
But, so I ended up being part of these forums and people are asking about things. And so Monday, I got, like, a question about, hey, Ello, you should check this. And the person who wrote it kind of spamishly, saying, hey, Ello is this new site. It has no ads and blah, 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 blah. And someone's like, oh, that sounds really cool. We should join this, blah, blah, blah. And I said, hey, here's the thing. New social media starts up all the frickin' time. Let it go. See if it goes anywhere and then join it. Otherwise, it's just Google Plus or Google Wave all over again.
Right.
And someone's like, I have invites if you want to have them. I'm like, I'm just going to wait and see where this goes. The very next day, you tell me, oh, hey, I'm sending you this email invite for Ello. You should do it. And that's the platform they were talking about. And you are my barometer. Every time you've told me to do something, it's either been an actual thing or a thing that was a thing for like 2 weeks.
Right.
But you know what are the good things and what are the things.
I just saw people talking about it. It was, you know, this thing. It was invite. I will tell you this. I am on an image hosting service called Milkshake.
Mm-hmm.
And very few people use it. Even fewer people pay to use it.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love it. Mm-hmm. I love the community that is there, but it is extremely small and weird, and it just appeals to me. But when I joined it, it was something that you had to have an invitation to join, which is what appealed to me, was that it was, you know, it was the velvet rope. You couldn't get into
mm-hmm.
it. And I've gotten into it, and it didn't take off. They were thinking maybe they would be the new Tumblr, and it didn't. But I love the people that are there, which is why I use that. Tumblr is huge. I don't use Tumblr anymore. I'm not a fan of the culture there. I'm not sure what is going to happen with Elo, but
so
this is my interest is like new things.
I know. So I have staked a claim on Elo right. just to see what happens, and also when things like the early days of Twitter were so much fun. I have good friends now from that. Right. People that I hardly ever see in real life, but like if they're like, "Hey, I'm going to be in town," mm-hmm. it's like Scott is a good example. Like I ran into him in Piccadilly, mm-hmm. literally ran into him, and ended up having breakfast with him when I was in London.
Mm-hmm.
But so far on Elo, it's just a bunch of GIFs of people waiting. You had a GIF of someone waiting.
Oh,
Joe Bozek had
yeah.
something. I put up a Cookie Monster GIF mm-hmm. of him just kind of tapping his finger. It's like, okay, what's going on here? What are we going
right.
to do with this?
So, yeah, and that, I mean, that, and that's part of what I was trying, as I was trying to put things up to say, okay, this is, I think it'll help when we start to see things like clients, like I use Tweetbot for Twitter, and I'm sure that they will have Elo integration maybe in the future. There was another one, I think it was called app.net, that was supposed to be the new Twitter that wasn't going to be crazy Twitter. But yeah, Twitter is... I think Twitter is... Well, here's the thing. It's like I've said this before. I use Facebook. Once I unfriended all the relatives I didn't want to hear from,
mm-hmm.
Facebook improved 100%.
I can't do that with my relatives.
I enjoy Facebook. I have a couple communities there that I absolutely love.
I will say, Facebook is very insular. Okay, so there was an article in National Geographic this week that mm-hmm. interviewed Dr. Drew Lanham and Dave Magpian, and it was talking mm-hmm. about, like, the whole focus on diversity movement. And I have kind of, like, insulated myself. Like, anyone outside of family, I'm not going to say whether it's my family or your family, I'm just going to say outside of family, that is racist, I just unfriend them right away.
Right.
Because I'm just tired of that BS.
Yeah, you don't even hide them, you unfriend them.
I just unfriend them, and if they...
As a matter of fact, I think it was 2 years ago, I came up... Well, John Kovalik, who does the Dork Tower comic,
mm-hmm.
I mentioned this, you know, I went on a rant about how I'm just unfriending, and how much... I went on a crazy rant about how great
Facebook
was.
That's right, he made a cartoon about you.
About how great it was that I unfollowed these crazy relatives, and he actually did a comic where he called it Sever Timber.
Yes.
Which I keep forgetting to tell people about.
It's Sever Timber.
It is.
We should, I'll have a link to Sever Timber.
We're almost at the end of Sever Timber. But, no, it's great. And I mean, it's like Twitter. I know that there are, well, did you see the One Direction fans thing? One Direction fans are the craziest teenagers in the world.
We're in our 40s. We're no longer allowed. We're obligated at this point to shake our fists and say that's not
no,
music.
No, I mean, they are legit crazy.
That
I mean,
is our duty as people our age.
Okay,
it doesn't
well,
matter.
Fine.
We have to say
but,
that
I
they
mean,
are legit crazy.
I know
crazy.
That there are... Well, they were talking about... I read an article. They were talking about the changing platform. Twitter is not for the, you know, the digital entrepreneurs and like people who are like on the cutting edge. Twitter is now a platform for people who only follow celebrities and only tweet about celebrities.
That's why I don't like Twitter anymore.
Exactly. So that is the market they're chasing. So one of the things that they're planning on changing about Twitter is you'll start to see tweets in your timeline of people who don't follow, you don't follow, who are just tweeting about popular topics. And of course, this caused an uproar.
Twitter is dead.
Exactly. So I think that's part of what the response of these people who are excited about Elo is that Elo, while it's a startup and has all this venture capital money,
uh-huh.
is being presented as there are no ads, we will not share your information, you will pay for premium features as they become available.
Oh, like being able to actually search?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Because the search feature so far
sucks. It's in beta right now.
I know. So. Okay, I know it's in beta. And it's like, again, it's like, no ads and it's free and
yeah,
you can
exactly.
do all this stuff. It's like, yeah, I can tell it's free right now because right. this is kind of a pain in the ass to use.
Right.
But I was trying to look at it as how a birder would use it. You know who I see taking over Elo birding-wise?
Oh.
The people who join, like, the Facebook birding groups, it's like, I just learned about birds, and here are the 50 birds in my backyard that are right. all cardinals, and oh, here are the 70 birds
I
that I don't know
to
how
you,
to identify. That's
I will
who Elo's
point out
play.
To you that you have been other than having a website, which was your idea, you have been resistant to all the new services and technology.
What have I been resistant to?
You didn't believe me. You didn't want to have a blog. That was the first thing.
But I got one.
Right.
That was like, oh my god, my blog just hit a 10-year anniversary and I completely missed it. Oh shit!
You've been blogging for 10 years. That's how old you
no,
are.
No. Seriously, what is today? September 24th, my blog was officially 10 years. Oh, crap! And I missed it because it's September 26th. Anyway, yeah. So, 10 years ago.
You forgot the 10-year anniversary. You are in the doghouse with your blog, young lady.
I'm
going
to have to, like, buy it like a diamond. No, you're yeah. When am I going to have to buy it?
I don't know.
Woo it and, like, take it to dinner. Do I have to take it to Fogo de Chao?
Anyway.
Play my blog platform, so Tom Jones.
So, Elo, we don't know at this point if it's going to be a thing. It depends on if the right people join it and start creating unique content for it that makes people want to be on it.
So far, it looks like a cross between, like, Tumblr, Pinterest, and Twitter.
Yeah, I'd say that's fair. It's missing some things that I would like. I would like it if you could just like things, because right now you can just comment on posts.
Yeah, and it tells you if somebody has eyeballed something.
Yeah, exactly. And you can't just share, you can't like retweet or share something. If somebody posts something cool, you can't put that on your own.
I will say this, it's not intuitive to use.
Yeah, it's still in beta. It just went...
It took me forever to figure out...
It just went public this week.
That I was typing something incorrectly, and the search feature was... Because apparently if you're... Because it uses kind of the Twitter thing, like when you have... So, of course, I'm BirdChick on there, or at BirdChick. And so a friend of mine on Facebook said, hey, I'm on here, here's my name. And so I went to look for them, and I kept looking for them under at their name, and I couldn't find them. And then it was like, oh, you have to take the at sign out.
Right.
And even then, it didn't work that great. I love that we have spent, like, probably, what, 10 minutes talking about Elo? And probably in, like, a year from now, it's going to be, like, in the People magazine. Hey, remember this big flash in the pan that happened in September? And now nobody's into it? It might be a thing. I
don't have a problem with talking about new things.
Anyway. Something has to replace
Twitter.
We're going
to spend 40 minutes talking about the divisions and the ABA.
Yes, that's what people tune into this podcast. I don't know why people tune into this podcast.
Tune in. When people warm up their radio crystal sets and then tune it in.
Some website was trying to compile all the Twin Cities podcasts, and someone like put up a really nice note about our quote-unquote charming podcast. I'm like, oh, really nice to call us that. Yeah. I'm really surprised people... I recently had a meeting with a radio station that is thinking about picking up podcasts, and I asked you for, like, do you have any idea what our listenership is? And I saw our listenership, and I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Our listenership is that? Thank you, people, for listening. Yeah. I think people mostly listen for you and not for me. Because so when I go to bird festivals...
I'm going
to
spin off onto my own...
You should. And just let me be, like... a friend who comes on.
God. Special guest star.
Thank you for being a friend.
What else do we have?
Traveling down the road and back again. Oh, I was conflicted about this article. And this was why I wanted to bring up Elo, and we ended up talking about Elo way more than we should have.
Sure.
Because I wanted to kind of transition into the Wall Street Journal article about how Google kills birds.
Okay. Oh, yes. I remember you liked
And I had mixed feelings because I have read bird articles in the Wall Street Journal before, and I've read them and was like, you kind of took one fact and grossly misrepresented that entire argument.
Right.
And I remember once I even, like, emailed an author and said, you know, this whole premise you have here of this article is based on the species that was, like, kind of introduced in your... Well, that's beside the point. It's still killing lots of birds.
Right.
But I was reading this... Being the moderate that I am. What?
No, continue, please.
I am in the middle. I don't think I'm grossly liberal, and I don't think I'm grossly conservative. I really feel like I am in the middle, because when I talk to friends on either side, I'm like, yeah, you're kind of insufferable. Mm-hmm. But it's basically talking about how Google has invested all this money. Google is trying really hard to get away from the whole fossil fuel thing. and is investing this money into alternative energy sources. Sure. And one particular energy resource that we have talked about on this podcast before is this gigantic solar panel thing that they have called the Ivanpah Solar Electric Generating System in the Mojave Desert. It's literally frying birds and melting their feathers as they fly.
Right. I was particularly confused about this, and one of your listeners wrote in to explain that this is not like a solar panel like you have, like that you would have like on a calculator or something where it just absorbs the energy. This is something where it's mirrors that reflect the light to create heat onto a central pole or something.
Yes.
So it's actually using the heat, not the light itself.
And it's gigantic. And to birds flying over, it looks like a giant lake.
Right. And so when the birds fly into it, the intense heat kills them.
And it's not even the case of birds flying into it to land, although birds like grebes flying into it thinking it's water, they're done. They're toast. It's even things like swallows flying over and thinking, oh, that looks like water. I think I'm going to fly down there and I'm going to get some bugs, because bugs are usually above water. Mm-hmm. They fly down. Their feathers literally start to melt and fry, and then they fall to the ground and they can't fly anymore because their feathers are damaged. Mm-hmm. They're foobard.
Yep.
They're fouled up beyond all recognition. Mm. And there are estimates with these places based on the birds that they have found. And let's be clear, birds that they have found. There are going to be tons of birds they haven't found, because predators like coyotes, like foxes and skunks, are going to, once they feed here once, are going to be like, hey, you know what, if we hang out at this solar panel place, we can find all kinds of like dead and dying birds, and we just hang out there. But we're talking about thousands of birds, and when I say thousands, I'm not just talking about four-digit thousands, I'm talking about five-digit thousands within a year being killed by this solar panel.
Right.
The article goes into a lot more about that. This is so complex. Having worked in the alternative energy field as a freelancer, it's really messed up, because there are all kinds of government subsidies when you start investing in these alternate. I want there to be alternative energy sources. I feel like we definitely, I don't think it's wrong to get away from fossil fuels. I think that is a wise move at this point. No matter where you fall on the political spectrum, fossil fuels are finite.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely need to find other ways of harvesting energy, and energy that's renewable. It takes some capital to invest in that. And we're going to design some things that seem like a good idea, and then we're going to put them out there and be like, holy crap, this kills like 28,000 birds a year. Maybe let's go back to the drawing table, and we're going to have to reinvest. I mean, it's going to take a while to figure this stuff out. But it just becomes this whole political issue of, this is climate change, and you're a climate change person, and blah, 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 blah. And anyway, on the one hand, I feel for Google, because it's like, I see that we're just going to invest in as much alternative energy as we can, and we're going to take as many government subsidies as we can, because we're a business who wants to try and make money, and that's what it's all about. But they're kind of becoming a poster child with the Wall Street Journal of, yeah, you know all that energy you just invested in? You just killed a lot of birds in a year. Quite possibly more birds are killed at that Ivanpah thing than would ever be killed at the Viking Stadium in a year.
All right, next story.
No, I just want to say, can someone out there find some alternative energy and find a way to harvest it that doesn't kill a lot of birds?
That has no environment. Can someone go find us a magic wand that creates... Well, there was the story about the Navy has created a way to...
Why can't somebody invent an alternative energy thing that kills, like, billions of mosquitoes? Or kills billions of ticks? Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah, I'm not sure they're everywhere.
I think somebody needs to.
There was the story about the U.S. Navy had invented technology that turns seawater into hydrogen fuel for their larger ships. Apparently, the Navy is very into green energy.
I thought the Navy was just into using dolphins for stuff. I saw Day of the Dolphin.
They're tying dolphins to the front of their aircraft cruisers to pull them into.
Seth!
And there's one guy in front. And there's one guy in front with a whip who's whipping the dolphins. That's exactly what's happening.
You know what? I was like a kid, and my parents showed me Day of the Dolphin with George C. Scott.
Yeah, I know the film you're talking about.
Set be free.
Yeah. All right. Next story.
Brace yourself.
All right.
Are you bracing yourself?
I am braced.
It is time for the Winter Finch Forecast of 2014-2015 by Ron Pittaway.
Okay.
Okay, so essentially what this is...
Thank God I braced myself.
No, people get really excited about this shit. So, there is a guy who, like, looks at tree seed crops in Canada.
Okay.
To let you know when some eruptive species, like your red poles, your grosbeaks, and whatnot, when they might erupt into the United States.
All right.
You've seen red poles.
Okay, if you say so.
Okay, so, okay, sometimes at Neil's house in the wintertime...
Don't describe the bird to me. I'm not going to remember it.
You would remember... Okay, so...
I trust you that if you told me I've seen this bird, I've seen it.
I'm going to describe this bird to the general public, and maybe you might remember.
I will.
So, an example that we're going to use is the common red pole. I'm not even going to bore you with the hoary red pole.
All right.
But the common red pole, it's a tiny finch. It's black and white, has some pink on it. It's distinctive in that it has kind of a goatee with its black.
Sure. And a monocle and a top hat.
And a little raspberry beret
exactly.
on its head. You know, Prince in a Minnesota bird. Minnesota bird.
You want to wrap this up?
Anyway, I have mixed feelings about the Winter Finch forecast. Because basically this guy is just saying, here's what the trees are doing here.
All right.
Some of the trees have had, like, really great whatever it is they're supposed to produce that birds like to eat. Some of them haven't. And in the areas where it hasn't been great, anybody south of that, you're probably going to see these finches this year.
Okay.
I've been following this for a long time, and I feel it's kind of as accurate as a woolly bear caterpillar.
Oh, yeah, sure. Checking the yell.
Or the Farmer's Almanac. Hey, it's exciting. It's a fall. Maybe I might see this bird. I mean, there have been falls when it's like when I worked at the bird store. It's like, oh, crap. We're going to be like invaded by finches this year, dude. And, you know, we weren't. And then there have been years where it's like, don't expect much. And then bada bing, bada boom, finches. There are so many finches. You cannot keep enough Niger seed in stock.
So what I'm hearing you say is science is not trustworthy.
We
should all go back to worshipping the sun god.
Mixed bag.
All right, so what is the forecast for this year?
Oh my god, I can't believe I just said that. I'm just going to give you the general forecast.
All right, please do. I'm not sure I can handle the excitement.
This winter's theme is a, quote, mixed bag, unquote, of finch movements.
Sure.
For example, some species, as purple finch, will go south, while white-winged crossbills will likely stay in the boreal forest in widely separated areas where spruces are laden with cones, if you know what I mean. Common red poles should move into southern Canada and the northern states because birch seed crops are thin to average across the north. See individual finch forecasts for details below. So, maybe you'll see some finches.
That is exciting news.
Here's the thing. A lot of people can't separate a purple finch from a house finch. Right. So all your eBird reports, you're just going to have to take with a grain of salt. The number of people who cannot tell a house finch from a... And it's, for me, it's kind of like, it's just a click. I feel like house finches and purple finches are easier to tell apart than Coopers and Sharpshins hawks. 10 times easier.
Right.
But the number of people that confuse them. As a rule, I do not trust eBird reports of purple finches.
Alright.
OMFG. I have to tell you something.
Alright.
So, there is an eBird reporter here in Minnesota. This guy birds a very particular part of the southwestern portion of the Twin Cities. Reports crazy stuff all the time. Just reports them. Does not engage in any kind of social media or even the forums.
Mm-hmm.
And is a legend at Birds and Beers, because we're just like, this guy doesn't exist. It's made up. Two people from Birds and Beers have encountered this guy.
Okay.
And it's exciting because he's young.
Sure.
Like, I think under 30s young.
He's 45 years young.
That's older than me. But anyway, he's been spotted. He's a young guy.
Say, that is a great story. So a young guy is reporting crazy stuff on birds. That's an amazing story.
His stuff, I mean,
have you approached Hollywood with this story?
No, here's the thing. His stuff is plausible, but you're just mm-hmm. like, you really need to have some serious birding chops. And then we just kind of got to the point because he doesn't respond to emails, or if you just say, hey, I'd like to go birding with you sometime because you're seeing some amazing shit. And he's like, I don't like people. I don't want to go out with people. I don't feel right. comfortable with you having my email address, let alone like you having my sure. phone number. Two different people have encountered him. He is real, and he seems to know his stuff. Let me make sure I don't have any other bird stories. There's well, the bald fine. Eagles getting food out of fishing nets. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do bird jobs because you don't like that. Anyway, I think we've done enough.
All right, it's time for the wrap-up, which you are doing now so that you cannot interrupt me while
what do
I'm
I
doing...
say during the wrap-up?
You tell people which podcast this is.
You're listening it to the is... Bird Chick Podcast.
It is number 177.
This is Bird Chick Podcast number 177.
And that you tell them how they can get in touch with you if they have any questions.
Okay, here's how you can get in touch with me. You can try Twitter, because I'm at Bird Chick. You can try Ello. If you want. I can't guarantee anything because it's new. You can contact me through the Bird Chick page on Facebook. If I don't know you, don't try with the Sharon Steitler page because that's just mostly for family. But definitely, I will totally interact with you on the Bird Chick Facebook page.
You need to work on your patter for this. For the
well, you did this so much better than I did.
No, I didn't because you constantly interrupted me when I was trying to get
you
out
like,
of this nonsense.
You like it when I interrupt you.
All right, folks, 177, we will be back.
How else do I tell people it? Oh, Sharon at birdchick.com. But I'm going to be in Portugal until like August. No, this is September. It can't be. Oh, I'm going to be in Portugal until October 6th. 7th, maybe? When do I come back?
I have no idea.
Portugal and Amsterdam. That's where I'm going to be. Don't send me any bird questions until after October 7th at sharon@birdchick.com. Although I'll probably have email and I'll probably reply if I find reliable Wi-Fi and it is a reasonable question. But don't send me something that's like some Asian partridge that's shown up in Florida because I'm not going to know what that is because I'm not going to have access to my multiple field guides that we've recently unpacked in this really cool apartment.
Wow, this is worse than when I did and you kept interrupting me.
See, this is why you need to do it.
Oh, God.
I love you, baby.
Good night, folks.